We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Conky Digital, your complete digital marketing company right here in Knoxville. And right now they're doing a cool promotion with us. They're giving away two more Yeti Roadie coolers, jam-packed full for your tailgate. $50 gift card to Food City, so you can buy, you know, the beverages of your choice, maybe some Truly Hard Seltzer.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe your favorite beer or non-alcoholic beverages as well. Whatever you would like to put in there, $50 Food City gift card. And they've got it chock full with some Cokes and some cups and plates and all the stuff you need for your tailgate. And, of course, you get the Yeti Roadie cooler as well. If you just go to foxsportsknoxville.com, that's foxsportsknoxville.com, our website, and click the banner ad, you can register absolutely free with Conky D, and you'll be entered to win the second giveaway. And if you don't win the second one, you're automatically registered for the third. So I encourage you to do that. And if you need websites, branding, or marketing automation, check out ConkyDigital.com. That's K-O-N-K-I Digital.com. It's Conky D. They've got you covered. Strategy, solutions, marketing, automation, measurement. It's Conky D. That's K-O-N-K-I Digital.com for more information. All right, we shift our attention to the National Football League tonight. It is I was kind of excited for this week because we had the Wednesday night Sun Belt game last night, which I didn't realize. I was watching App State play Louisiana Lafayette, and I was like, wait a minute, who's the new Appalachian State head coach? It's Eli Drinkwitz.
Austin Peay? No, wait, no, that's Will Healy who went to Charlotte.
He was NC State's quarterback's coach.
Okay.
Maybe offensive coordinator, too.
Okay.
He had been at Boise before that, too, and had been at Arkansas State when they were, like, winning the Sun Belt or whatever conference they're in. I think that's the same one. But anyway, he replaced Scott Satterfield, and the Tennessee tie there is that Drinkwitz was on some people's Jeremy Pruitt list for offensive coordinator, because he's known as an offensive innovator. And NC State really, under Dave Doran, who we know from the Jeremy Pruitt's, you know, Philip Fulmer hiring cycle, you know, they put up some huge numbers on offense with Finley at quarterback, who I don't remember what NFL team he went to. But anyway, that whole deal. But we had Sun Belt action on a Wednesday last night. App State got the win, as I correctly predicted. I'm mad that I didn't put money on it with my bookie. Use the promo code Knoxville if you do that. But you had that game going on. Then you had the two baseball games. And then, of course, tonight the NFL gets going with the, you know, Super Bowl from a while back, multiple Super Bowl matchup, the Giants and the Patriots. The only problem with that is the Giants are no longer any good, and the Patriots are still rolling. Malcolm, you've got the Patriots defense in fantasy football, so you're excited about this matchup.
So excited. Release them, man. I need Danny Dimes to not do well tonight, man.
Danny Dimes, well, of course, the new quarterback for the Giants, who's starting in place. Somebody said that the Giants should just do what Tennessee should do and just roll out Eli Manning tonight. Because, A, you'll save Daniel Jones, and, B, you'll scare the Patriots because he's like their one – he's their Achilles heel.
Yeah, literally.
Kryptonite. I am concerned for Daniel Jones tonight because, one, I don't think Saquon Barkley's playing, and Wayne Gallman is out with a concussion, and so is Sterling Shepard. I don't believe Evan Engram will be playing either.
If so, he's gimpy, so that's no good.
I think he's out.
Is he out?
So, Golden Tate, fantasy owners.
Golden Tate.
Come on down.
Well, he should be fresh. He was serving a 4-game suspension to start the season off. But, man, like, Giants don't have a lot to work with. Their defense isn't very good.
How did they get so bad? The Giants. Like, I don't understand. It's not like the NFC East is – the NFC East is always winnable. Like, even if you're
so
not
true.
At the top, like, any of those teams could just lay an egg. I guess Philly has, you know, they've won their Super Bowl and they've kind of but still, like, Wentz got hurt. That, like, during the regular season, they haven't been like a, yep, there's no way to beat Philadelphia type of team. It's just, I just don't get it. You would think in New York you would have the inside track on any, you know, bidding war free agents, that it wouldn't be that hard. They had the 6 picks last year, of course. I can't even find – I went to the site I like to use for depth charts. There's no other running backs listed for New York. Do they still have Paul Perkins?
No, there's a Hillman guy, I think. I don't even know.
I feel so bad for Daniel Jones. I really do, because he's going to be throwing it a lot tonight. The stats are not going to be good.
I mean, I'm just looking at the screen of the depth chart. It has like little injury, like a little Red Cross type symbol out beside.
Jonathan Hillman.
Jonathan Hillman. All right. There you go. And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of those just on offense.
Hillman has, for fantasy owners, for the season, 4.7 points.
I'm sure it'll be so much better tonight on a short week against the Patriots. Great.
That's my NFL Eliminator pick, FYI. I know you're first, but you can't take them since you picked the New England Patriots last week, and and Billy lost.
So you've got the Pats. We still need to text Billy at some point and ask him what his round one pick is this week, because he's still playing round one against no one, just to see if he can, like, you know, make it through the whole season.
I'll send that out.
Yeah. It's harder than normal Survivor pool, because in a normal Survivor pool, you can pick the same thing as somebody else.
Yeah.
And you do it blind. But we do it open, and you can't take the same thing as somebody else.
Oh, that would kill me.
Yeah, well, Billy's already won one round of it because, you know, well, your Falcons let me down. I had the 4th selection, and I'd already taken some teams. So by the time it got to me, I was like, well, surely they'll beat the Titans at home.
I want to apologize on behalf of the organization.
That's not your fault.
No, it is, because I believe in them.
Oh, well.
It's terrible.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for the message, John. Let me know that Finley went to the Bengals. The Ryan Finley kid from NC State.
Oh, nice. Good work.
Yeah. Fan Run Radio. There you go. But tonight, it's Giants. It's at New England, too. Like, I can't. Dave, you find a line on that, too, at some point. I mean, this, maybe you gamble in this game, make it interesting. I don't know. Thursday Night Football, brought to you by MyBookie. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath.
I will say Thursday Night Football has been entertaining. Like, I don't know if you guys got the chance to watch the Rams and Seahawks, the lime green.
Yeah, that was another good Thursday night game, Davey. I think your take earlier was very misguided. Well, it was correct last year, maybe, or the year before. Thursday night football was awful, but
the main Thursday night game that I've watched this season was the Titans versus the Jaguars.
Bias, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Minshew made that first quarter.
It's a 17.5 line tonight.
17.5.
Boy, take it. Bet the house and the chips and the grandkids, man.
I don't even know if there's another game that's in double digits. As far as the line for the NFL this week.
Well, Washington and Miami are playing each other. Those would have been the other options if they were playing them.
Ravens and Bengals. Ravens favored by 12.
Huh. All right. So as we get to know Malcolm Harris a little bit,
yes,
he's filling in for Houston Crest today. So you're a big fantasy football guy.
Big, huge.
How many leagues are you playing him?
I am in 2 because I made the mistake last year of being in 5, and I neglected my girlfriend. You know, I just really, she would be talking to me, and I'm, huh? What is it? What do you need? You know, and I just felt like a bad person. She attacked my character, Nate, you know? So I'm trying to limit it to just only 2 for my sanity, yeah. But I watch Fantasy Countdown. I mean, I'm always looking at waiver wires. I mean, I even tweeted to the people, man. You came in like a knight in shining armor.
Thank you.
And Eckler, he held it down for me over Fournette, man. So appreciate it.
I mean, if it's a PPR league, even last week with Gordon coming back, Eckler had 15 catches.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Did you leave him in last week?
No, I took him out.
Malcolm!
No, but the thing is, man, I was playing Tanner in our league, and he had McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson.
So it didn't matter. Yeah.
It didn't matter. But yeah, huge fantasy guy. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Good news for Titans fans. Titans are the underdog in this one, so that means they'll win.
Okay.
They've lost every game they've been favored and won every game they've been the underdog.
I used to play in... You know, I played fantasy football as soon as it was able to be scored on the computer. Like, that's I was in high school when he started, and you know, used to work for Pro Football Focus, and I'd write the first job I had was through the IDP side. Like, they need an IDP writer. That's individual defensive players. So instead of having like a team defense in these leagues where you have to start like two DNs, two D tackles, three linebackers, two safeties, two corners, like, I'd break down these defensive guys all the time.
That's crazy.
And so I'd do the waiver wire, or I'd do the start 'em, sit 'em columns for that. And, you know, we do all the statistical stuff. And if you think the offense, like, predicting how the offensive guys are going to do, the defense is worse. Because, sure, like, the linebackers are pretty easy. You just get guys that tackle really well. The defensive line is not bad, but it's still all or nothing. Like, a defensive end will either have a strip sack, you know, fumble recovery, and have a monster week, or he'll do nothing. He'll have, like, you know, one assisted tackle and get you half a point, that's it. But the secondary was the worst. Because the best secondary players are typically the corner that gets picked on because he makes all these tackles. He is thrown, you know, they throw the ball, complete a 10-yard out, and he shoves the guy out of bounds, and you get a point. And then the craziest part, and I even did a whole study on this, like a multi-part piece for Pro Football Focus's fantasy department. The home stat keeper in the NFL really determines how many points your defensive guys can score or not, because they're not employed by the NFL. They're employed by the home team. So, like, the Redskins guy would – and on any play, you can score it as one solo, or you can split it into assist. And depending on your scoring, say, it's just a nightmare. So, like, the Redskins guy would give so many more tackles out than other places. Like, the Rams dude 1 year gave out, like, 14 assisted tackles for the season. Like, almost every play he would just mark it as a solo for the first guy that got there. The Redskins guy gave, like, 138 assisted tackles for the season or something. It was crazy. I mean, it was just nuts. So you had to – anyway, it was – I had to cut back. I had to get out of the IDP leagues. I mean,
that would drive me insane.
I'm in one league now, one. I mean, really? At one point I was in, like, nine. Now I'm in one, and it's great. Because the problem when you play nine leagues is – one guy's crushing it in one league. You're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you realize you're playing against him in three others. You don't even know what to pull for anymore.
You don't. You're just literally, like, that's why red zone, you know, comes in handy, because it's just like, man, I can see everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Red zone's definitely clutch. We'll come back. We'll hit on some of the other big games in the NFL this weekend. And we got to ask the question, too, at some point. Bigger choke job, Braves or Dodgers last night? We haven't talked about the Dodgers. It was on late. I stayed up and watched it. I couldn't pull away. It was just I'd actually watched a movie on on the main TV,
okay,
while I had the Dodgers game on mute, because I figured it would be over. The movie ended just in time for back-to-back jacks as Clayton Kershaw again choked in the postseason. So more NFL, Major League Baseball talk. Hour three and out. This segment of the program is brought to you by Alumni Hall and AlumniHall.com, official video sponsor of 3 and Out. Check them out online, 24/7, AlumniHall.com, are the three area locations right here in Knoxville, Paper Mill, Turkey Creek, and, of course, still in the mall at Westtown. It's Alumni Hall and AlumniHall.com. Looks like we might have some weather on Saturday. Let me give you your Saturday game day forecast as we update you each day here on 3 and Out. Looks like for the day, Saturday, high 64, 50-50 on the precipitation, and around game time, noon, 38% chance of rain, 60 degrees. So the temperature not going to be bad, but might want a little jacket in case you get some sprinkles or a quick shower during the game.
I'm not going to complain about the rain, usually.
Yeah.
I'd make a big deal about it, but seeing as we actually need it.
Yeah,
I can't really do that right now. So if you need need some jacket, Tennessee gear, Alumni Hall or AlumniHall.com. So we'll talk. We'll get into more of the NFL games tomorrow, but kind of quickly bouncing around the league. Washington and Miami play against each other. 2-0 for teams. Washington's 0-5. Miami's 0-4. They've had a bye.
I'm actually very interested in that game.
Yeah?
And a lot of people will be like, why? It's just going to be really bad. It's like, I'm interested to see like how much effort is actually shown, not from the players, because the players are going to go out there and play, but the coaches might be getting the talk of, hey, we're trying to get that first pick. We want the we want to get Tua. So I know it's kind of early, but you do know both these teams are tanking. We've already saw that Miami was going to tank before the season even started with some of the trades they were making. And right now, it's interesting for the Washington Redskins because they did just fire Jay Gruden, and Bill Callahan is stepping in as the head coach, which sometimes you've seen in the past where once they get rid of a coach mid-season, there's a jump as far as production of play for the team that made the head coaching change. And I'm interested to see if Washington – I expect Washington to win this game, but as to how much and how well they play, I am looking forward to that storyline.
Well, that's one that matches up teams, you know, that are pretty even, and we see that across the league. Like, I mean, your Titans are struggling. They at least get an opponent they should be able to beat as they go on the road to take on Denver, 4:25 on Sunday.
That's a late one.
You've got Pittsburgh and the Chargers are the Sunday night game. They're 1-4 and 2-3 respectively. And then Monday night is Detroit at Green Bay, which obviously Green Bay will be favored at Lambeau. But Detroit's been a team that even in their loss was pretty close, and they had that tie against the Cardinals, and they really should have won.
Yeah.
So I mean Detroit should really be 3-1 on the season.
They're coming off a bye week.
They're off a bye, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll play a little better.
So they're coming from a bye to a Monday night game. It's a good little...
It's a nice little break.
That break, yeah.
Yeah, you get the extra day. It's not bad at all. You know, can they get the... Green Bay's been... Their defense has been better. I'm trying to think what's, you know, if...
Yeah, Mike Pettine's done a great job with them.
I don't know what Detroit will try and do. Will they try and pound it and try and get Kerryon Johnson going? That's how they kind of played their last game going into the bye. He had a big day, but had that critical fumble against the Chiefs that got returned. That's their one loss for Detroit.
I honestly think it'll be a pass-heavy game. I have been surprised, honestly, with the Packers and how they've gotten Aaron Jones going so far this year. I did not expect that.
He almost killed me last week.
Really?
I survived with a close nail-biting win. But, yeah, he scored 50 in our league.
Dang.
50.
So, Matt LaFleur, the head coach in Green Bay, I've had some concerns with him just from what I was watching him do last year with the Titans. Mm-hmm. But I think some of his coaching deficiencies are made up with Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers hasn't been lighting the world on fire. But I do expect him to kind of continue to get better as the year goes on if he's able to stay healthy.
I just think with them, obviously, not having Davante Adams in the fold right now, I mean, toe turf, that's a nagging injury. I remember Julio had it a couple years ago, and he just didn't look right the entire season. So, I don't know, man.
And he was lighting it up before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he was...
That was like his first big game of the season.
I remember that game.
He counted the Chicago defenders that were covering him. He was like, 1, 2, 3. Ooh, okay, 3.
Turf toe sucks, too. It's weird. It's really weird. It feels like your entire ball of your foot into your big toe is like all jammed. You ever jammed a finger like really bad?
Yep.
It feels like that, but it's all the way into the ball of your foot.
And if you wrap it, it makes it worse because it just puts pressure on it.
Yeah, and you can't put any pressure on the ball of your foot or on the toe itself. So it's almost like you have to walk on the outside of your foot.
I give him some Percocet and send him back out there.
And you can't run. And
I got some fantasy matchups to win.
I don't even know if you can shoot it up.
I got the Rodgers-Adams combo, and right now it's not been too good.
It's not been helping you, man.
Was that you telling me yesterday about a Percocet stat or something?
Oh, I think, who was that? That was a conversation we had about the...
It might have been with one of the Blitz guys. How many Percocets one NFL team had distributed last year? It was like in the thousands.
Oh, that was Bear telling us at Smoky Mountain Brewery.
A 1,000 Percocets?
Yeah.
Man.
In one season. to one NFL team.
Calvin Johnson has entered the chat.
a guy that's a big fantasy football kind of lightning rod is back in the injury news. Todd Gurley's day-to-day with a thigh contusion. So get your Malcolm Browns ready if he doesn't go. And then, I mean, my boy Darrell Henderson hasn't done anything all year. So this one league I'm in is a dynasty league.
Okay.
Has a salary cap, years on the contracts and everything.
So it's rolling, yeah.
So I drafted Darrell Henderson late in the first round, and he just hasn't done anything. I also traded, though, and got Marquise Brown, so I've been happy with that pick. So
Hollywood.
We'll see. He's been good, even with the run-first offense.
Isn't he a little banged up, too?
He is, but I think he's going to be good to go. I might be wrong about that. Who are the Rams playing?
Rams are playing...
It's the 49ers?
Yes.
I mean, that's a showdown. That's 4:05 on Sunday.
Guys,
from LA.
I think Jared Goff is who I think he is.
Was overrated last year?
Yeah. Guys, Jared Goff is not good, man. And this San Francisco defense is for real, especially that front four.
I could not. I thought San Francisco would beat Cleveland. I did not think it would go that way, though. That was crazy.
People are going to call me crazy, but Jared Goff is only as good as Cooper Kupp can be in a given day.
Yo, I love Cooper Kupp.
He's their safety blanket, and you can just tell when he's on the field, the Rams are so much more productive offensively. And, I mean, Sean McVay, like, outside of Andy Reid, I'd say he's the best offensive mind in the game. They gave Goff way too much money. He is the definition. I give Tom Brady grief for being a system quarterback, which he is. But, I mean, Jared Goff is the system quarterback in the NFL right now.
And it's not helping when, you know, your star running back is officially done, man. I think we've seen the last of really elite Todd Gurley. You can tell, I mean, when he's talking to the media, you know Todd Gurley has a vibrant personality. He has a little pep in his step. Guys, is Todd Gurley smiling as much as he used to? Is he really happy the way he used to be, you know?
He got his money, too, so.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing to really be upset about, except maybe if you're not feeling the same way you used to feel. I mean, the rumor's been out there for a while that it's an arthritic knee and that he's only got, you know, so many runs left in him, and that'll be it. But so they've tried to manage it. He was asked that question after week one, like, because Malcolm Brown, I think, had two rushing touchdowns. He was in them both like first and goal situations and scored. And they asked her, like, hey, what do you think about the other guy getting the touchdowns? He's like, I was happy we scored, you know, which is the right answer, but I don't know. It does feel like the clock, shot clock's counting down there. Lots more NFL in the program tomorrow. I might even cycle back a little bit later in the hour. But coming up next, we got to talk Braves, Dodgers. Who choked worse?
I got to give picks, too.
Major League Baseball, NFL Eliminator picks.
I guess
anything else?
That's all we got. We got to just do the college football playoff. Just a quick update. I don't believe anyone's making a move there. So.
Yeah, we'll update that as well. Stick with us right here. It's Hour 3, Thursday edition of 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by Lloyd's Electric Service. Check them out online at LloydsElectricService.com for all their services. They've got you covered. That's Lloyd's Electric Service and LloydsElectricService.com. Last night, Major League Baseball. I don't know. I was completely out on baseball, and now it's turning into kind of like my hockey viewing where I don't really care that much during the regular season, but the playoffs. I mean, the drama in the playoffs. Playoffs. Last night, the Nationals win 7-3, 10 innings against the Dodgers. And, I mean, it was obviously the Dodgers the favorite in the National League. This is the NLDS, so it's a five-game series. The Nationals do have really good starting pitching. You know, Max Scherzer in game four, and then it was Steven Strasburg last night. And that's why yesterday on the show I said this is a dangerous game for the Dodgers. If Strasburg's just on and they can't hit him again, it's going to be a problem. Well, the game starts, and early on, the Dodgers get on the board. They touch up Strasburg in the first for two runs. In the second, they added another, and they're up 3-0. And it looks like, okay, they're laying off Strasburg's curveball. He's not able to throw it for strikes. And they're loading up on fastballs. They, you know, hit a double, hit a home run, and it looked like that the Dodgers had under control. And then in the sixth, the Nationals scored a run. It was still, though, 3-1, and with two outs in the seventh, the Dodgers bring in Clayton Kershaw, who obviously one of the best pitchers in the game, but also has had very little postseason success, but he's had some big mistakes in the postseason. In fact, in the seventh with two outs, he comes in, three straight pitches, strikes out, ends the seventh. Game goes to the bottom seven, and then when the Nats come back up, top of the eight, Kershaw comes back out there. And the weirdest part, or the most controversial part, I guess, is that the Dodgers bullpen was healthy, rested. This wasn't like a team desperate having to go back to a starter because the bullpen arms are all dead.
Yeah.
This was a team in the Dodgers that went to a starter because it's Clayton Kershaw and because he's obviously a really great pitcher. The only problem was he had another postseason moment, and in three pitches, the Nationals hit back-to-back jacks, both solo homers, of course. And it was actually he only threw three pitches in the inning. He threw one pitch to start the first batter, and then home run, and then the next one, the second home run was hit so far, it was like 449 feet.
Goodness, he smacked.
As soon as the ball came off the bat, Kershaw went down in a crouch position, hat over his face. He takes the hat off, turns, and just gives it a cursory look to make sure that it's way gone, which it was. If you can, if you're not a big baseball guy now, but you remember like Kirk Gibson's home run back in the 80s World Series in Game 1, like the bleachers out in L.A., it's kind of the small bleach. I mean, it was like halfway up into the seats. The thing was pounded. And at 3-all, it was like, oh, goodness. Like the Dodgers are now in trouble. And sure enough, the Nationals go to their closer in the bottom of the ninth inning, and he's able to close the door on, I think he allowed one runner in the bottom of the ninth during the Dodgers' meat of their order. He gets out of it, and then the weirdest part of the game for Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, he's going with a reliever that had been good, with a different team earlier. He had been good in the ninth. He had shut down the Nationals in the top of the ninth, but they roll him back out for the tenth, and it's weird. Like you could tell immediately that he just kind of didn't have it. He walks the leadoff guy, so it's like, okay, walk the leadoff guy. This guy's already pitched a full inning. Like, go to the bullpen. The Dodgers closer is out there warming up, well rested, ready to go. They don't bring him in. Then the Nats hit a double. So now it's runners on second and third, and they don't go to the bullpen. They intentionally walk the runner because there's nobody out, and they still don't go to the bullpen. And the next hitter for the Nationals, Howie Kendrick, hits the grand slam in the top of the 10th, and Dodger fans just start walking out of the stadium as soon as it cleared the wall. In fact, they said some Dodger fans started walking, stood up, and got out of their seats before the ball landed. Because as soon as it came off his bat, you knew it was scoring one run, even if the center fielder was able to make some acrobatic catch out there, because it was nobody out, bases loaded. And you were going to, even if the guy catches it, the guy on second is going to tag and get to third. You're going to have another situation with one out guy on third where a sack fly or a ground out, into the hole or whatever is going to score another run.
It's going
to
end it.
I mean, the Dodgers were in trouble. But the grand slam made it 7-3. And then what's almost worse, and it was kind of like this for the Braves too, is that they still had to go through the bottom of the 10th. You still had to, yes. Like the Braves still had to play, they hadn't even hit yet and it was 10-0. They still had to play nine innings, eight and a half innings of baseball down 10-0. So my question for you guys, would you rather be the Dodgers who had it and choked or be the Braves who never got out of the gate to begin with?
The Braves.
You'd rather be the Braves?
Just I say that because as a fan that is constantly let down by my sports team, I feel whenever the game's just out of the way early, you don't harp on it as much. But whenever it's something that comes down to like the final minutes, you really start to just dissect every single play that would have made the difference.
Mm.
But like, let's take, for example, Florida last year, where you're just destroyed from the beginning. It's just like turnover after turnover. That's Tennessee versus Florida football I'm referring to. And you're just sitting there for pretty much all of the second quarter and beyond, and you're just like, man, like, this is just atrocious. Whereas if I'm taking a game, I'm trying to think, do we even have, like, the South Carolina game?
Well, how about Florida when they hit the play to win it at the buzzer?
Okay, that's good.
Back,
yeah, we just go 2 years in a row.
Yeah, you come back to tie the game up.
You're like, man, like, we've had all these chances. Like, I go back to being on first and goal at the one, and then Dormady throws the interception. It's like, if we could have just punched it in there, we would have been better off. Or if, like, you just don't have Tyree Cleveland beat you over the top. We had all the momentum going into overtime. I think we would have been able to pull it off. Like, those types of games, if I'm viewing those, I would have rather it been 2018 Florida than 2017.
Hmm.
Like, if I know the season's not going to amount to much anyway, because, like, at that point in 2017, though, you're at least thinking, oh, man, I'm undefeated.
Philly said the Braves were worse, though. You're an Atlanta fan. What do you think?
The Braves are worse, man.
He said they were more talented than the Cardinals. I think most people agree with that.
Yeah, they have a really good young nucleus, core of players. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to be back in that situation, hopefully sooner rather than later. But as a Dodgers, to win over 100 games and just for it to be over like this, I mean, what as Dodgers faithful, what can you do at this point? Because it's the same narrative. And ownership is going to have to get it right eventually. I don't know what moves they're going to need to make, though. Like, what do the Dodgers need at this point?
Nothing. I mean, they had everything.
They are a complete baseball team.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would rather be the Dodgers, because you basically, if I'm the Dodgers, I just say, look, we were stupid in that. And we ran up against a team that had some good starting pitching. They pitched well. We didn't hit as well as we could have. And we just had a moronic moment at the worst possible time. If I'm the Braves, I'm worried that at any moment we might just fall apart. And it doesn't even translate to just to the postseason. I mean, that'll be the narrative. Like, but at any moment, I'd just be worried that things are just going to go off the rails with Atlanta. And if you get to the post, and then when you get back to the postseason, I mean, people, like, game one of next year's postseason for the Atlanta Braves, if they're fortunate enough to make it back, if they're the wild card team, it's a one-game situation, everybody's going to be like, Braves going to show up today?
So you think it's going to be like a psyche thing?
Are they going to lay an egg? Let's say they win the division again, if they're playing the Cards again, it's going to be like a thing that's in their face. If it's some, let's say they're a heavy favorite. Let's say they have a great year next year, and they get to, you know, game four in the DS, where they're, I mean, even if they're up 2-1 in the series and they're on the road team's thing and they kind of choke a game away and all of a sudden it's coming back to Atlanta, it's going to be, oh God, here we go. It'll be the here we go again thing. I don't think for the Dodgers it's going to be that much of a here we go again. I mean, Kershaw is not the closer. Like, he's going to be able to be a starting pitcher all next year again.
Yeah.
And prove that he's still really good. And I would guess that they'll never bring him out of the bullpen again in the postseason. So he could start a postseason game next year and stink it up like he's done before, but you can recover from that. The Braves, like Russell said it yesterday, like after they got done with the trial, like this is a loss. This style of loss will just stick with you.
No, I mean I hate to say typical Atlanta, but man, this is a narrative in the city. Atlanta sports are just not.
I mean, think about that.
2nd and 23. You know, for Georgia and Alabama, there's that. I mean, dramatic fashion, 28-3, obviously. Mm-hmm. The jokes that are said daily. I turned off the TV yesterday when they started talking about it. And now this. It's 10 hits in one inning, you know?
And the Hawks are looking up.
I mean, nah, but think about it. They won 60 games and got swept by LeBron, you know? So what do you do? It's tough, man.
Yeah, you start. The C word starts coming around. You have to watch that scene in Friday Night Lights. Ain't no such thing as curses. I don't know. once the C word starts getting thrown around, especially in baseball, you start talking about curses in baseball and people start, I don't know. Like it actually starts affecting people. It really does.
Only thing Atlanta has is United right now.
No, okay.
They got a championship. So, and lacrosse is a championship.
Lacrosse,
too,
all right.
So,
yeah.
You know how pathetic I sound right now?
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I was noticing that. Final segment, Thursday edition of the program. I'm Nate Hodges. Malcolm Harris been filling in for Houston Crests and Davey Hudson as well. We appreciate you joining us. We got to make some picks as Thursday night football tonight. An NFL eliminator, Billy Williford, still alive from round one. He's going to see if he can make it through, how far in the season he can go. And he is going to take the Baltimore Ravens. Can't believe he hasn't picked the Ravens yet. So what is this, week six?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he's still making picks there.
He
and
took
surviving.
Seattle, New England, San Francisco, the Chargers, Kansas City is what knocked him out of round two.
What? Yeah, this is round one, so that.
I know. I was just giving his rundown of teams.
No. Oh, okay.
So I forgot. Well, I read it out, and then I realized, oh, Kansas City was the one that lost it for him.
I think he took. Didn't he take Philly that week?
Yeah, he took Philly for week one.
No, I'm
or round one. Sorry,
round one, yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Well, put me down for Baltimore as well. I just don't see any other option. I mean, you've already taken the Pats, and I took them last week. Obviously, the Pats are an easy survivor pick if you're out there in a league and haven't used them yet. That's Thursday Night Football. The problem this week is that Washington and Miami are playing each other. So you don't really want to take them. Cincinnati, I typically don't like picking any team with a division game. I like home teams, non-division games.
Yeah.
But there just doesn't seem to be a good option there. Baltimore hosts Cincinnati in the division. At least Baltimore's at home. It's a 1 o'clock Sunday kickoff. So give me the Ravens.
Okay. And
there's a lot of teams I feel like are pretty similar. For example, Carolina plays Tampa Bay. Obviously, Jameis Winston's not playing very well. Carolina's on their backup quarterback still, even though their offense has been humming. But still, okay. Like I'm not touching that division game.
I get that. Just on that real quick, at what point does Cam Newton come back and be the backup? Cam Newton lost both games he started this year, and Kyle Allen's won every game he has started this year.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think Cam's time in Carolina is over with, man, as a starter.
I feel like he needs a greener pasture.
I
right?
said just put him in Pittsburgh or something and just let him fly. You know, he's still got something left.
I would be interested to see what Mike Tomlin could do with him. Because, I mean,
first step's just getting healthy, too. It's been the foot thing's one thing, but he had the shoulder deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been the combo of both those that's kind of lowered his level of play. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. He was, you know, dominating.
Really been downhill ever since that Super Bowl performance.
Yeah, man. 2015 Cam was different.
Philadelphia plays Minnesota. They're both 3-2. I feel like those teams are pretty evenly matched. Houston plays Kansas City.
It's going to be a great one.
Houston coming off their 50-point performance. New Orleans travels to Jacksonville. I thought about taking the Saints, but I never trust them on the road. I don't know. Something about that. Seattle plays a desperate Cleveland team at their place. Another favorite on the road. San Francisco travels to L.A. to take on the Rams. We mentioned that earlier. I mean, that's not one you want to pick. Atlanta and Arizona are two teams you'd pick against in a survivor pick, but they're playing each other. Dallas, consider them on the road at the Jets, but I don't know.
That's a safe pick to me.
Sam Darnold's coming back. Does that make a difference for the Jets?
They are at home. Is it just going to all unravel for Dallas? I don't know. Tennessee at Denver, they're both bad. Pittsburgh at Chargers, I don't know. The Chargers might not be a bad pick at home against the third string Pittsburgh. I think somebody Hodges, I don't know. He's probably a family member, but I don't know who.
He played at Samford.
I don't remember his first name. And, of course, Detroit and Green Bay. We'll talk a lot of college football on the program tomorrow. Malcolm will be back for that one. And we'll get you set for the weekend as Tennessee gets ready for their noon kickoff against Mississippi State.
No claims this week in college football playoff picks.
All staying the same.
I'm sticking with my three teams.
You don't want to pick up a fourth
team? Don't want to move to the back of the waiver wire.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We'll get you set for the weekend tomorrow. Tune back in again, 7 a.m. right here on Fan Run Radio. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more from Fox Sports Knoxville.